Today on Real Life Radio.
Do you want Christ? Well, your answer is yes. The reason why that's true is because Christ wants you. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. That's because God wants you in heaven more than you want to be there. Have you called out to Jesus? Yes. Jesus is calling out to you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled Our New Home. You know, in every civilization and culture throughout history, there's one thing that connects us. It's the strong desire to know what's waiting for us on the other side. You see, heaven's been given many titles, but by any other name, it is where God lives. And for the true follower of Jesus Christ, it'll be our new eternal home, a place that we desire and is full of hope, and the anticipation of its splendor is what marks a Christian life. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our heavenly home will be grand enough for all to enter and secure through the ages. Our great security in Christ is promised by the Word of God, with our salvation kept safe in His hands. Doesn't that sound great? Now in his message called Our New Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Think about it right now. Oh my goodness, it's this place descending out of the presence of God. That's where we're going. And it has this appearance of jasper, clear as crystal. Light, the Shekinah, the glory of God is illuminating out of it. It's going to be spectacular. So it's not only going to be illuminated, and it's not only going to be pure because God has prepared it. We should not only anticipate it. Look at our second point this morning. Our new home, verses 12 to 14, our heavenly home will be secure. It will be safe. Verses 12 to 13, secured throughout all the ages. It says in verse 12 also, she had a great, that is the city, had a great and high wall. Notice this, 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, one at each gate, obviously, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Gee, you think 12 is important to God? Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." God is making this announcement. John is seeing it, that this great and glorious place has got an angel. Mark it. There's an angel at each of the gates. There's three gates on each side. Each gate has the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's significant, especially for those, and there's a lot of them, church, listen. There's a lot of people walking around today and they're on Christian radio and Christian TV announcing that God is done with the nation Israel. That's heresy, my friend. By the way, if you're here today and you hold to that view that God is done with the nation of Israel, you are really, really kicking against not only the Word of God, but the will of God. God is not done with the nation of Israel. In fact, in these last days, He's brought it back into her own land. He's reestablished it again, and He's going to be doing some tremendous things with Israel in the future, especially during the tribulation period. But right here in eternity, there are gates labeled with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Keep that in mind. God is not done with Israel. In fact, He's just getting started with Israel in these last days. But this is an awesome scene for all those who've come before Jesus Christ. Listen, for all those who've come before Jesus Christ, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Adam, Eve, they looked ahead to what God would do by providing the Messiah. They looked ahead to the sacrifice. Remember, right after Adam sinned, what did God do? He killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve from their nakedness. Remember? He took the skin of an animal and covered them. Now, I can't prove it, but what do you think what kind of animal it must have been? It must have been a lamb. For the Bible says again in Genesis, when God spoke to Abraham, God will provide Himself the lamb. And He did that on Mount Moriah. He did it with Abraham and Isaac, and He did it with Jesus Christ upon Mount Moriah, or we call it Golgotha, today, Mount Calvary, God will provide the sacrifice. So in all of the times previous to the cross, how were those people saved? They looked ahead, believing God's promises that God would provide the Messiah. How are you and I saved today? We look back at the fact that God provided the Messiah. We look back 2,000 years ago to what God did on the cross with Christ. They looked forward, we look back to the Messiah, to the coming of Christ. And that fact alone excites me because, my friend, God did a great and awesome thing by interrupting time, by sending his son. And it was his son who died on the cross. It wasn't Jesus in some panel. It wasn't Jesus in some group. It wasn't Jesus in some church leaders. It wasn't Jesus and the apostles. It wasn't Jesus and the Pope or Jesus and Billy Graham. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who went to the cross. And I love the fact that when you look at a cross today, that cross is empty. That cross is naked. Look at our cross behind me. Is it? Oh, yes, there it is. That cross is empty. Why? Because Christ is no longer on the cross, but Jesus Christ is risen. He paid the price on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And the Bible says he's at the right hand of God the Father. He's glorified. He's there. And the Bible says, I love this. The Bible says that he's always living to make intercession for the saints. How many of you are Christians this morning? Raise your hand. God is praying for you through Jesus Christ right now. Isn't it amazing? Jesus, our high priest, God come to earth in human flesh, says the Bible. Jesus intercedes. That is, as we are sinners and he's our Savior, he stands before the Father and he says, Father, Jack is asking for forgiveness as his advocate, as his salvation, as his sacrifice, Father. He's confessing his sin. And Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive him his sin and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And based upon the sacrifice of Christ, my sins are forgiven. And I can go away free, liberated. And that's securing to my heart. That's comforting to my soul. We will be in heaven for all eternity and will be secure. Secure also, verse 14 teaches us, by the word of God. It says in verse 14, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I love this. You got 12 of the names of the tribes of Israel and the names of the 12 apostles. This is very exciting. You guys, this is what we had in mind, by the way, when under my feet. Now, you can't see from where you're at, but I'm standing. Can you hear the difference? Listen. Now, listen. Can you hear the difference? This plate that I'm standing on announces underneath here that I am standing on 24 Bibles that have been placed in the foundation of this church beneath my feet. Directly about 7 to 8 feet down beneath me are 24 old retired Gideon Bibles that went out to all the world and they retired them and they brought them back and they're underneath my feet. The cool thing about that is whoever stands behind this podium preaches and teaches standing atop the Word of God. This thing is uncomfortable, this plate, it's supposed to be. It's to get the speaker's attention. It is supposed to be. That's why it says, by the way, down here in about the fourth paragraph, it says, now then, if you are now certain of your calling, and if you have shown yourself approved unto God, and if you have prayed yourself ready, then now let yourself go. Based upon what? The Word of God. How many Bibles are right here underneath my feet? 24. Why did we put 24? Signifying the fact that here there is 12 names of the tribes of Israel and 12 names of the apostles, because in eternity, God will bring all of his redeemed hosts together. And that's a wonderful thing to realize. I love that. Secured by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge and all of the spirits of just men made perfect. I believe that's a reference to the Old Testament saints. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks of better things. Wow. Heaven Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 says, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having then been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone. Our security, my friend, eternally, is based upon the word of God. Do you want Christ? Well, your answer is yes. The reason why that's true is because Christ wants you. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. That's because God wants you in heaven more than you want to be there. Have you called out to Jesus? Yes. Jesus is calling out to you. God will be faithful to take you to heaven because of this thing. You have trusted in Christ. That's glorious news. And we can be confident in that very thing. The word of God secures our hearts. Look at our third point this morning, verses 15 to 17. Our new home, our heavenly home, will be grand. It will be truly altogether grand. In verses 5 to 17, it tells us this, that's going to be grand enough for all to enter in. I want you to pay close attention to this because I found this truly comforting. Are you guys with me this morning? And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. Listen to what John says. The city is laid out as a square. The word in Greek is the city is laid out four square. You ever heard that term, four square, or the four square church? It means totality of completion. It means absolutely the fullness thereof, or absolutely balanced. Equal on each side is this word in the Greek, four square. Its length is as great as its breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 142 cubits, or about 216 feet was the wall width, or the width of the wall, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel, or the size of an angel's hand, or the size of a human being's hand. Again, this word, square, interesting. Scholars will bicker back and forth. It either means an absolute square, could be, probably does, or a pyramid. The same mathematical law would apply to both shapes. It's equal on each side. Keep that in mind. What's interesting about this, church, are you ready for this? Get excited. I got excited about this. Dr. Henry Morris, in his great commentary on the book of Revelation, says this, and I quote, "The four square shape is as a cube. The city itself measures out somewhere between 1,380 miles to 1,500 miles, each on each side, including the Great Wall, which measures 72 yards or 216 feet wide. If calculating only 25% of the space available on a 1,500 mile cubed distance." Imagine for a moment. From here, go 1,500 miles east, then go 1,500 miles up into the sky, 1,500 miles west, 1,500 miles back down, and cube it. That's a big cube. That's just the city. That's not heaven. That's just the city of God that's in heaven. Are you with me? This is exciting. He says, if you just calculate 25% of the available space, or one quarter of the city alone, the city would comfortably provide enough human beings with space up to 3 feet around each person for 25 billion people. That's only one quarter of it. You say, Pastor, that's encouraging. Maybe I'll be able to make it in there. That's only one quarter. Yes. Obviously, if you do the math, 100 billion people could fit just inside the city. Oh, and get a load of this. How do you see the city? Like your city? Like your little town that you live in? Watch this. What is taught here is that there's 12 gates. They ascend upward. We'll see in a moment that they're pearl-lined gates. That at each level, though the gate is One gate, just take one gate. It enters into, oh, I know, ladies, you've got it down. A mall. Think of a mall. Think of a multi-level mall up 1,500 miles. And then they unlock the mall, but when they open the gate, it's only one gate. But one gate opened up, opens up every floor for 1,500 miles. Foundation levels. Wow. And you can enter in at any one of those levels. And don't think for a moment in eternity that we're going to be bound to be thinking on this horizontal plane. You know how you and I think? We think, hey, can you come here? And we think of this plane, this level, right? But what if you're up there on the fourth floor and you say, hey, Jack, come here. You see how bound we are in the earth? Can you imagine? You know this, right? Have you ever taken like a roly-poly bug or an ant? He's just cruising along on your countertop and you look at him and you put your finger down. He doesn't have a clue what he's doing or who you are. He gets on your finger and you move him. You go like this and you bring him over here and you put him on the microphone. He has no idea. He was just raptured. He doesn't have a clue. He went from just his dimensional plane up into the atmosphere, and I brought him over to a whole new world. In eternity, there will be no electromagnetic limitations for us or gravitational effects for us. We'll be able to go horizontally, up, side, in. It doesn't matter. That's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. By the way, I think hidden in the measurements of this wonderful description, you guys, is something that I came across this week. It's estimated that throughout all of man's biblical existence, there's been somewhere around a population less than 100 billion people. Some scholars argue that humanity has been around for only about maybe 20 billion people. How many people live here right now? 6 billion? And all of a sudden, as I looked at that, it kind of struck me. You know what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9? That the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. And I thought about that. Could it be that God prepared an eternal state, an eternal condition, an eternal dwelling that could have housed all of humanity should they have given their heart to Him throughout all time? And I thought about this. If you do the math, it's very possible that God prepared a place for you and for every human that's ever lived, including all the little babies that die in miscarriage or die in abortion. Think of that. 40 million in America alone since 1973. Aborted. In heaven. Think for a moment. God here, I believe, is a hidden announcement of grace. God prepared enough room for every human that was ever born, knowing that every human could have the opportunity to accept Christ. Will every human that's ever been born go to heaven? No. But why will they miss heaven? Because they choose to obey themselves. They choose to reject Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, says the Bible. Does the Bible teach there will be those who will enter hell? Yes. Based upon what? Having rejected Christ. But does it not bring your heart to tears that God prepared enough room for everybody, but there will not be the fact that everyone's there? There's nothing worse than to plan a joyous event and nobody shows up. Jesus said concerning heaven, I invited the children of Israel. They said, no. Go then out into the highways and the byways, remember, and call to all, anyone who listen, and bid them to come. For those who were invited did not come, but I will invite all so that my Father's house might be filled. And the Bible says, and this Jesus spoke this parable unto the people. God wants you in heaven. Why would you not be there? There was a room prepared for you, a great and wonderful place. We're looking at it, but you refused. He sent you an invitation, not only one, but over and over again, sometimes through announcements, sometimes maybe through a program, sometimes maybe right now in church, sometimes through friends or family or strangers, maybe a billboard alongside the freeway. Maybe you were scanning your radio and it came to an announcement on a radio or a Billy Graham crusade or whatever it might have been, and you just blew them off. He sent invitation after invitation. You stubbed your toe. You saw that graveyard. You had that incident in your life. And you wondered for a moment, God, are you real? But you just pressed on and you forgot him. What if the size of this grand and awesome city indicates to me that God wanted you there and he prepared a place for you? And if you miss it, it's not because God failed. You failed yourself. You removed yourself right out of his hands of grace and mercy. Why on earth and why in hell would you do such a thing when God has prepared heaven for you? What a grand and glorious 1,500 miles square, grand enough for all to enter in, but all would not have him. Fourth point in our study this morning, verses 18 to 21 is this. Verses 18 to 21, our new home, our heavenly home will be beautiful. It will be beautiful. And keep in mind as we go through this, that in Exodus 39, the Lord told Moses to make and to have made the ephod. Remember the ephod that the high priest wore of the 12 gems that represented the 12 tribes of Israel? All these stones that are mentioned, the priest was to wear into the presence of God in the tabernacle or in Solomon's temple on his chest, the 12 stones representing each of them, the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember that? Remember the stones? Listen to how our God is into detail. Watch this, how beautiful it is. The construction of its wall was of jasper and the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. Remember, all of these are of its color, but opaque or light will transport or translate through it. The third, chalcedon. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardon or sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophras. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. 12 stones, 12 foundations, ascending up 1,500 miles. Glorious. What does this tell us? In verses 18 to 20, it speaks about the materials used. No doubt the materials used speaks of us, of his love. All of these things. How do we know they say, Jack, that's a stretch? No, wait a minute. When you've got the high priest in the Old Testament coming before God, representing salvation and intercession of the saints before the dwelling of God in the tabernacle, now you've got 12 stones represented in eternity forever. God speaking that he has wanted our hearts, he's wanted our souls, he's wanted us with him, and there's representation. The Bible says in the book of Romans that Jesus Christ, and he uses a legal term, Jesus Christ is our advocate, our great high priest. Isn't that good news? I love it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Our New Home. Thanks for being here today. You know, our new home is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, I'm excited about this new book, Temptation. Tell us about that, would you?
Yeah, Davey, listen, just put out a book, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. And I think one of the most profound things that a Christian wakes up to is that they become keenly aware that they're being tempted. Yeah. Before, you used to flow with temptation. But a believer, it's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer, is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy. And it is the battle of your life because it's never going to stop until the day you see Jesus.
Wow.
So yeah, we're excited about it. It's extremely practical. So yep, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.